Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Matthew chapter 3, starting to read verse 1. I want to read to you a very familiar verse. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and it says this: "The voice of one crying in the wilderness prepares the way of the Lord and makes his path straight. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist." I always thought he was, that kind of clothing would be kind of difficult. And then I found out camel's hair is cashmere. So, you know, maybe he wasn't as I thought, but perhaps he was. The belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now that's strange. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. John the Baptist became very popular. In his popularity, everyone said, you know, you need to do this. You need to get right with God. You need to repent. And so the Bible says that everyone went out. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He said, "You don't even hang around with people that are godly. How did you even know to come out? Why are you here for repentance? Because you're going to follow through with the baptism, but you're going to go back and do the same thing you always did before." He said, "Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance." He said, if you repent, your life changes. If you repent, there is to be a turnaround, a change, 180. You're not supposed to be into the things of the flesh, but the things of the Spirit, because you see, God is eternal, and it's all about the kingdom of God, not the earth that God created. "And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" Don't think just because your mommy and daddy and grandpa went to church that you're okay. It's a personal relationship with God. "For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from the stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he is coming after me is mightier than I, of whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn the chaff with an unquenchable fire. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you show us this message clearly. And Lord, I pray that it go to more than our minds, but goes to our heart and our very soul. In Jesus' name, amen." Thanksgiving is over. Black Friday is over. Christmas is upon us. Advent will be starting. And we will be preparing, and each Sunday you will see the decoration of the church, and you will see here in the music that is sang and the children that perform and the sermons that are preached about the preparing for Jesus to come. John the Baptist gives us a clearer picture than America does today about preparing the way for Jesus to come. Jesus is about to come and be born of the Virgin Mary. to show his place upon the earth, to show that he was the God that created the entire world. He healed the sick, he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and he raised the dead. And he rose from the dead and was seen by over 500 people, so no one could be mistaken about who he was and what happened to him. There were guards set at his tomb. And the Bible says his people turned the world upside down, even though no one believed that he was alive the day he died, the day after he died, they prepared the body, and the day after that they were going to prepare the body. And on the third day he rose again. You may come from a background or a family that does not believe that. Well, your family just might be wrong. And that may cost you eternity. There is more evidence about Jesus Christ than about most of the historical people that we read about. And it's documented and it doesn't change and it hasn't changed for 2,000 years. Those 12 men who did not believe gave their lives for what they saw and believed. Eric Halderman said that he believes in Jesus Christ. Because when Nixon fell into trouble, the most powerful men in America couldn't keep their mouths shut for 4 days about a lie. It wasn't a lie to those of you and I who are believers. We see him every day. We trust him every day. He changes our lives every day. He does something for us that we don't expect every day. But we got to prepare the way. Back when my granddad, my dad, was a boy, my dad would tell the story about the circus coming to town. The circus would come to town for one day. One day. But a month or 2 months ahead of time, there was this guy that would come around and he'd hang these billboards. He was unseen. People didn't remember his name, but he proclaimed the circus was coming to town. He hung those billboards all over town saying the circus is going to be here on this date, and here's what you're going to see. And they were colorful posters. They expressed the size of the elephants and a lady being sawn in half. People started getting excited because they knew something great was coming. But it wasn't about the man hanging the posters. And this is what John the Baptist is saying. He's saying, there is someone coming. You're coming out here to see me in groves. And even some of you who don't even have an idea who God is are coming out here to see me. But there is one coming after me. And I'm telling you that today as your pastor, there is one that is after you. And he is coming for you. And he wants to save you, and he wants you to have eternal life, and he wants you to have eternal hope, and he wants you to live in his kingdom, and he wants you to have a 180 turnaround from the things of the world to the things of the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, he says, I am offering you everything. John was not the big show. He proclaimed the big show. This church is not the big show. You can be a member of this church and die without Christ. But you can't be a member of the kingdom without Christ. God wants us to be a member of his kingdom. Matthew 6:10 says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I think we all want that. Maybe if we live more like we're in the kingdom rather than we're in the world. Maybe if we thought more about influencing people by letting them see Jesus in us, we could see the world change instead of spending all of our time trying to change legislation. The Old Testament gave us the law to show us that no man can live by the law. The laws weren't changed, they were just stretched and turned and twisted. So that the law that said to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, you weren't allowed to only walk so many feet a day. They had piles upon piles of legislation that was wrote upon the laws. And the laws worked to show us that we couldn't keep the law. You cannot be in Christ without being in Christ. You cannot be righteous without being in Christ. You cannot be good enough without Jesus Christ to be in the kingdom. You can't earn your way. Jesus paid for your way. And in that kingdom is where he wants us to live. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as when the kingdom of God was coming, Luke 17:20, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look here, it is,' or 'There, it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And the kingdom of God cannot come into you unless you repent. And that repentance is saying, "I am no longer part of this world, but I'm part of the kingdom of God, eternity." And God will change your life. You don't have to change it. He'll change your wants. You'll no longer be seeking the things of the world with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. You'll be seeking the kingdom of God with all your heart and your might and your soul. And whether you're sick or whether you die or whether you live or whether you're strong, you're always the same in the kingdom of God. Because you have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. The repentance that God is talking about, both in Matthew 27 and 2 Corinthians 7, is one that turns our life around. It changes our direction. It isn't a human change. It's a divine change. It's a repentance that doesn't come out of fear, but it comes out of love. It's like a man and a woman when they fall in love and they get married. They stop dating. If they don't, they're just in the flesh, in the marriage. Just the flesh. And you are loyal because of your love, not because of your fear. I heard an old preacher say one time many years ago, I do all that I want to do. I do all the swearing I want to do. I do all the drinking I want to do. I do all the running I want to do. He said, "I don't want to do anymore because God changed who I am." It isn't about the flesh, but it's about the soul. And God will awaken you to the point where you see that. You'll become a giver. You'll want to proclaim his word. But we need to repent. You say, "Well, preacher, you forgot who you're talking to. This is a good church. We're good people. We're on the outskirts of town. Surely you're talking to somebody else. Surely that person isn't here. That person is out there. They don't need to hear this." We need to hear it, because as long as we are in the flesh, we are not in the Spirit of God. And we can't get out of the flesh unless we decide that we are going to repent. And then Jesus comes in. And when he comes in, we see this, he is real. We can't repent until we realize that the message of repentance is aimed at us, not someone else. That we truly need Jesus Christ, and we need the impact that he has on our life. There is a man that was watching a man carve. And Terry and I and my brother-in-law and his wife and Terry's niece and her husband, their children, were going to Europe in June. And we're flying into Rome. And I want to go to Rome because I want to go back into the Vatican. I was there when I was 30 years ago. But I want to see the work that Leonardo da Vinci did in the sculptures out of marble. There was a man watching, a man taking a chisel and making a statue of a man. And he looked over at the man that was the artist, and he said, "I wish I could do that. I wish that I could just take a chisel and cut all the bad things out of my life. And he said, you can if you do it the way I'm doing it. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm doing it on my knees. If you really want to be the man or woman God wants you to be, you're going to have to get down on your knees and you're going to have to plead with God. Some of you are so dissatisfied with your life and you don't even understand. It's because of the sin that you harbor and you allow and the things of the world that you are seeking that is making you feel inferior and feel down and feel like you're unaccepted. Once you get into Christ and who He is and you allow Him to get into you, He will fix everything. But true repentance must come. When I was a kid, I was taught about repentance. For instance, I was the youngest for 8 years. Then they had Jim. I don't know why they did that, but it don't bother me then. It won't bother me now. But for 8 years, I was taught to say, you're sorry. And when you did something wrong, I had to tell my sister who's 4 years older than me, I'm sorry. I broke her bike. I broke my older brother's bike. Then I got a new bike. Had the same effect. But around our house, it was almost an ungiven rule that if you do something wrong, you say you're sorry. You know, the Catholic Church does this. If someone does something wrong, they confess it to God, but then you go into the little booth and you confess it to the priest because you've also sinned against the church. You've let the people down that are standing beside you, that believe in you. That's how all that started. We don't do that. We don't believe in that. But it wasn't started as a bad thing. Sometimes you need to say you're sorry to more than just one person. Sometimes you need to sit at the kitchen table and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I worked over so much during the Christmas holidays. I thought I wanted to give you a good Christmas, but really what they needed was you at home, you being with them. Prepare the way. But me, being the person that I am, caught on to that, saying I'm sorry. So I knew if I did something wrong, Matt, I could get away with it if I said I was sorry. So whether it was a candy bar that my older brother had that I'd eat, and I'd say, oh, I'm sorry. My mom and dad were sharp. They caught on to that. And so did John the Baptist. He said, why are you coming here saying you're repenting when you're not repenting at all? You just want let off the hook. Well, you're not getting off the hook. Not anyone here is going to get off the hook. Everyone here is going to give an account to God for your life. Is it filled with the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, temperance, and the meekness that God as intended for a person that lives in His kingdom, or is it filled with jealousy and envy and strife and hatred and high-mindedness? I want to put this in here because I've never been jealous. I think jealousy is evil. I tell every couple when they get married that if you allow jealousy into your home, it will destroy your marriage. It's satanic. Trust each other to a fault. There's nothing any worse than someone being accused of something they didn't do. I am again thankful, and I was reminded this morning, for the staff that I have here, for the ministers that I have here. I can walk out of this pulpit and know that we have Pastor Kay and Pastor Risen, and you've already heard Pastor Barnett back here. He isn't on staff, but he isn't here today either, but he's been pastoring up in Michigan. I thank the Lord for them every day because this church couldn't do what it does without this staff. I am thankful that if I step out of the pulpit, I know that it will be carried on by someone that is faithful and loves the Lord. And I know God called me to this position. So no, I'm not jealous. I pray that they do the best they can do every time I'm out of the pulpit. And they do. When I was in business, I would tell our companies when I'd walk into a market, I'd say, we have no competition. So don't be talking about the other guy out there and why you lost the deal. The other guy isn't out there. You're the only one out there. And I can tell you this, there's no other church around this church like Heritage Church. And this is the church. I believe that. I pray for Tony Scott every week on the hill. I pray for the Baptist Church over here on Mount Clover Road every week. I pray for the Church of Christ down the road every week, every Sunday morning, that God give them the gospel and they preach it. You could go to any one of those three churches and get fed and know the Lord. They're a little different than us, and we're a little different than them. But you won't find me criticizing them, nor will you find me listening to criticism about them for very long. Why? Because it isn't about this world and the amount of property you own. It's about the kingdom of God. And you don't get that without repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let us stand. Let me tell you while you're standing a story about two young boys that lived in a town. They were twins, and they stole some sheep. And the one boy repented. But the punishment for stealing sheep was you had to have carved in your forehead an S and a T for sheep thief. The one boy repented. The other boy, he just left town with the ST in his head. He'd go from town to town, and every town he went in, they'd ask him what that stood for, and he'd have to say, sheep thief, and they'd find out, and he'd have to move on, and he ran his entire life. The boy that truly repented stayed in that town, worked as hard as he possibly could to make amends for what he had done, because his life had changed because he had repented. When he was old, a new gentleman moved into town, and he asked one of the young people there, he said, what does that ST stand for on his forehead? He said, you know, it was a long, long time ago, but I think it stands for saint. That's the difference in coming clean with God. That's the difference in running or repenting. Our Heavenly Father, bless this message. Help us to take it home with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.